OTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping lives for a better tomorrow.
BET, home of some of the greatest shows, such as Monique, Let's Stay Together, The Game, Steve Harvey, Everybody Hates Chris, Master Mix, and many more. BET is also famously known for their featured blog sites, such as Spotlight, What the Flick, Stay Tuned, Head Over Heels, Sound Off, and a wide variety of others. So the next time you're flipping through your channels, tell a friend to tell a friend about BET and BET's video library. Also, don't forget to catch the countdown on 106 in Park with Roxy and Terrence. Do you want your chance? You feel as if you got what it takes? Or just want to read and catch up on BET news? Tune in to www.bet.com or send your thoughts and opinions through mail to BET Network, 1235 W Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C., 20018-1211, or phone BET Network at 202-608-2000. This commercial was brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping lives for a better tomorrow.
It's your boy, welcome to the kicker spot. It's your boy, I'm your host, T'Angelo. T'Angelo. Why did I have visual? I was partying to the break of dawn.
How about, so who recorded the video?
T'Angelo.
OMG.
Yeah, it's kind of sporadic.
So, no. Okay, for better one. Apparently, I'm egotistical when I talk about myself all the time.
Go. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kicker Spot. I'm your host, T'Angelo.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is your boy, T'Angelo, telling here at the Kicker Spot, and I am live and turned up. We are going to have a blast tonight getting into all things Hollywood, EOTM, T'Angelo Live on Books, Celebrity Hub. You know how we do here at the Kicker Spot. We truly have a blast. So I don't know about you guys, but I know I'm definitely getting into all the holiday spirit, you know, with got Christmas around the corner. We got New Year's Eve coming up. We have family time, social events. I don't know about you guys, but I know I'm about to enjoy, well, continue doing as I do, enjoying life to the fullest. You heard? That is definitely what's up. I'll also take this time, you guys, to let you know, please do support T'Angelo Live by going to the T'Angelo Live Facebook fan page and liking us. We definitely need your support there. And then also to be sure to follow us on Twitter and, you know, all the different social medias, okay? So definitely just hit us up and you know, we'll just appreciate you there. You know what I'm saying? It's been pretty cool, too, because Twitter's been great. I've been meeting cool people and chatting it up. So if you hit me up there, you guys, I really do get back at you. So don't think like some robot person. No, it'll be me. I'll get at you. And then definitely on the T'Angelo Live fan page with Facebook. It's a lot of cool articles there and pictures and the press releases of things that's going on. So just stay tuned. Also, go to T'Angelo.com to stay abreast on all the celebrity guests that we will have on the show. And then you can also go to T'AngeloLive.com to purchase all the different books that we feature from the guests who are on the show, guests who soon be on the show, and just other great books that we think you would love to check out. You know what I'm talking about? Again, that's T'AngeloLive.com. T-E-A-N-G-E-L-O. It's T'Angelo. Okay, let's get it together here. You know, I need to find my gym bag. Once I finish here on the show, you guys, I'm going to have to go to the gym. You know what I'm saying? Because I know I'm about to say something that's really cliche, but my New Year's resolution is going to be to get into a more healthy type of, you know, eating style. I currently eat, you know, whatever I want. Well, kind of, not all the way, not completely, but I mean, I'm a junk food junkie, I have to admit it. And so I'm going to do the cliche thing and come the new year, I'm going to cut it back and try to watch out what I'm doing. And I'm already was kind of driven, but now I'm being pushed to do it because one of my best friends recently lost like 26 pounds and he's catching up to my body weight and I'm not really happy with that. So I can't be like the fat person in the group. So and I have to be healthy. More importantly, I have to be healthy. Being, you know, a media mogul, we have a very hectic schedule, and so I'm told that if I eat more healthy and be more mindful about the things I put in my body, I can have more energy. So, you know, stick around. If you guys have a great workout plan or something, please shoot me a message. I'm definitely interested in, you know, finding out what's best for me and hearing about you guys' thoughts would, you know, would help me with that. So, anyhow, another thing I want to mention, you guys, is a toy drive, a book and toy drive that I am working with. I'm working with VSSN, which is Veterans Supplemental Support Network, and we have put together a book and toy drive for the veterans, for wounded warriors, also known as our American heroes. So we really would appreciate it if you guys would donate to the cause. You want to add yourself to our email blast so you'll get the information through email, or just visit the TAngelo Live fan page on Facebook, and you can find the link there. I'll have to upload it as the show is planned because it's not there at this exact moment, but if you give me a minute, it will be. Okay, so again, we're just doing, you know, during the holiday season, giving is what it's about, sharing is caring and all that jazz. So the TAngelo Live and VSSN American Heroes, okay? So that's going to be awesome. Let's see, what else we have here? Lastly, oh, you guys want to start your countdown. If you ever noticed, 2012 is quickly coming to a close. And I don't know about you guys, but 2012 has been one hell of a year. I mean, really, so much has happened in this year. And I talked about 2011 was like a setup year for me. It was totally a prep year to get me prepared for 2012. And 2012 has definitely been one whirlwind. And I'm thinking things can only go up from here, right? Yeah, I'm optimistic about it. So anyhow, you guys, with all the progress we have made, let's just keep it going. Let's keep the ride moving forward, and let's ride this mother until the wheels fall off. You heard?
You are now tuned in. You are now tuned in to the Kicking Spot. Spot, 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 spot. Kicking Spot. And I'm your boy, TAngelo. Jalo, Jalo, Jalo.
All right, you guys, now here. Due to the holiday season, relationships are either in one or two places right now. They're either getting stronger or they're becoming very strained. So what I have put together tonight is a few tips that will help you keep things on track by strengthening something that's brand new and you've just put together, or something that's already long-lasting, you know, an old relationship that has, you know, just maybe starting to become a little strained by the holiday season, because with all the giving and sharing and party lifestyles and social networks and, I mean, and social engagements, people become kind of hard, towards each other, because, you know, you usually get mad at the person closest to you. So I am going to give you guys a few tips that can assist with maybe just notating a few things, okay? Anyhow, moving right along. It is also that time of the year again, you guys. The Grammys are quickly approaching as well, and they have announced the Grammy nominees. And so tonight we'll discuss who is on the list, who will surprise us on this list, and then also which artist got snubbed this year for the Grammys Awards. Also, Kate Middleton and Prince William are being offered parenting advice. But the funny part that you guys will never guess is who is the one offering the advice. Ashton Kutcher plays Steve Jobs in a new film called Jobs. Well, question, how do you think it's going to go, and what do you think of this casting choice? We'll discuss that this evening. Also, and most importantly, I'm excited, you guys, because tonight we premiere TAngelo Live. I mean, tonight our premiere segment, TAngelo Live on Books, features actor, producer, director Eric LaSalle. LaSalle is best known for his role on the TV series ER, where he played the not-so-nice Dr. Peter Benson. But tonight we will chat with Eric about his latest endeavor, which is a thriller, a novel entitled Laws of Depravity. So you guys go to tangelolive.com to check out Laws of Depravity. It's there on our featured homepage. You can also order your copy today. It is a great read. We're going to talk all about it tonight, and it's a lot of fun, okay? So be sure also to call in. You can call in and speak with Eric LaSalle tonight by hitting up our radio line, which is 718-664-6543. Again, that's going to be 718-664-6543. You guys, we're going to take a quick musical break, but when we return, I will share a few relationship tips to help get you through this holiday season. We'll be right back.
Bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out, and I'll lay your ship bare.
And you were tuned into the Kickin' Spot.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? This is your boy, T'Angelo, and we are definitely here at the Kick It Spot. So, discussing relationships during this holiday season. Like I mentioned, during this time, things can get you a lot of fun, or it can become really stressful. So I felt that post giving just one little tip, I'll do a couple of little tidbits that you might find to be useful during this season, okay? So a few little things, and then we'll get into the rest of our evening. One thing you guys want to do with this season is understand that it's very demanding. You're resting off, doing a lot of stuff, and so you might skip past little things like saying please, thank you, and you're welcome. Let's try not to do that, you know? Let's say mind your manners, okay? Try your best to still do those small little things, because I know for myself when I get in a hurry, I'm like, oh, yeah, pick up that bag and put it in the car. No, don't do that. Could you please get my clothes out the trunk? Oh, I did say please in that one, but you know, it doesn't sound as humble as it could. And even the other day, one of my colleagues was like, T, could you say please? I was like, what are you talking about? You told him to get the stuff and put it in the trunk, and you didn't say please. And I was like, oh, well, did he do it? And she looked at me. And I was like, okay, fine, you're right. Just that little bit does make it a just nicer gesture, and it keeps attention away. So those few little things, thank yous, and you're welcome. And then humbly say it. Look the person in the eye and really say it. Those things can go a long way. They definitely help with your partner. They show that you respect them, that you love them, that you don't take them for granted, okay? That's tip number one for the evening. All righty. Now, we're also going to have to go with fight right. Yeah, I said how to go with fight right. When you have arguments and disagreements, it is okay to go ahead and, you know, express those not-so-positive energies. But just make sure that the argument doesn't get out of control and you don't lose your mind and forget some of the rules that kind of go into arguments. The first and foremost one is do not call your spouse names, okay? When things get really tough, let's just take a break, back up so you can digress and reconvene at a later time. One of my friends actually said that she prefers, which is kind of weird, but she said she almost prefers to have her arguments in text message. I was like, why would you do that? To me, that just seems fake and phony, like you're hiding from something. And she was like, well, it kind of allows you to edit what you're saying versus you just spitting out, you know, things back and forth without thinking about it when you're talking. This way you kind of look at what you wrote and reconsider. That's one person's version. Mine is let's just separate from the space right now, and I'll talk to you later. I can't talk to you right now. Let's just discuss this later. Okay, so those are things you want to, you know, really realize is just to fight right. You know, let the other person finish their sentences. Don't always interrupt, and don't insist that a discussion has to keep going when you're angry. You can just stop talking. Get back to it later. Okay, number three, I don't scratch your back if you scratch mine. You know what I'm saying? Now, again, sometimes you're going to want to, sometimes you're not going to want to. So no one likes the demands of having to do things they don't want to do. But if everyone can appreciate each other and compromise, I think that would be the best thing for everyone. Okay? I don't want to go to your parents' house. You know how they get. They be drinking, they loud, they get ignorant. You know that. But you have to go because if that's what your partner wants to do, if your girl is telling you we have to go, you have to say, okay, cool, listen, I'm going to go ahead and go. But you know that massage I wanted last week that you kind of wasn't really feeling? How about you go ahead and hook me up with the massage? I'll hook you up with the day with the family. I'm just saying, scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. You know what I'm saying? You do a little bit for me, I do a little bit for you. I think it works. It's a compromise, and it definitely can keep things smooth and fun during the holiday season. Again, it's going to get a little stressful. We got a lot of family to go by for. You're doing all this shopping, spending money. Scratch my back and I'll scratch yours, okay? Another one is number four is going to be keep your eyes on the prize. I'm really big on remembering why you got in a relationship. I think that, you know, some people get lost in what's the whole purpose in being in a relationship. And it's not – you get the support factor, you know, in all kinds of realms. You get the companionship, someone to talk to, you know, that best friend role. But then also you're in love with each other. So kind of remember that that's what it's about. It's about me making you happy and you making me happy. So if you keep your eyes on the prize and don't forget that that's the purpose you got in here for, it'll be a little bit harder for you to kind of do things. But it probably doesn't mean that you won't have hard times. It just means, again, be mindful. So case in point, if it should happen that, let's say, your boyfriend forgets to, I don't know, close the garage when he's leaving the house for like the umpteenth time, opposed to you just getting a big old uproar and going off, how many times did I tell you to close the garage? You always forget it. Let's not do that this time. Let's just simply say, hey, babe, you did it again. Okay. And if you know he's going to forget, walk out the house with him when he's leaving and simply look at him while he's driving away, like, really right now? No, like, really right now? You know, again, remember why you're in there. It's not to fuss and nag and, you know, point out the wrongs in people's faces. More so to support and be there and, you know, be the extra little strength with that little weakness. You know what I'm saying? And then lastly but not least, when the last but not least, two heads are better than one. Okay? When you're in a relationship, understand that it's two of you now. So basically, that means you can look at someone else for help or don't have to take on all the responsibility yourself. This is one that I have to struggle with myself because I'm used to doing things by myself and always being involved in every aspect of, like, my day and my career. And this one, you're not the only one joined here. It's two of you. So when I have a problem, you know, your partner has a problem. I mean, if you have a problem, your partner has a problem. If your partner has a problem, you have one. And so if it's like, it's kind of like one of these situations where if you see that your partner is gaining way too much responsibility and it's trying to get bogged down, you should offer to say, hey, can I pick some of that up? You know, what can I do for you? Kind of get in there and pick up some of the slack. And it's an amazing gesture because to you what is a small thing is a mountain to another person. And that's really the case for me. If you just simply, like, come to my house and, like, help out by helping me get my clothes washed or maybe help me get this kitchen cleaned up, because I'm always, you know, in the mogul world, I'd be like, dang it. And when, by the way, I hate washing dishes. It's like the worst freaking thing ever, so I don't ever want to do it. So if someone helps me out, I'm like, oh, awesome. So anyhow, you guys, those are going to be my tips for this season. Well, not for the whole season, but for now, to think about. Just really realize that two heads are better than one. I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. Remember the fighting rules so you don't, you know, start lashing out inappropriately. You know, that's really not cool. And just really overall be there for your loved ones because this is the time to, you know, have fun and all that jazz, okay? So that's all I'm going to say about that. Remember, you guys, during this time of the year, it's all about love, sharing, caring, just having good old fun. You know what I'm saying? That's all it's about. So keep it going and don't get lost in all the commercial fanfare of it all. I mean, ugh.
On. This is your boy D'Angelo, and you are chilling at the Kickin' Spot. Kickin' Spot. Kickin' Spot. Kickin' Spot. The Kickin' Spot. Kickin' Spot. Kickin' Spot. Kickin' Spot. The Kickin' Spot. Kickin' Spot. Kickin' Spot. Kickin' Spot. Welcome to the Kickin' Spot, and I'm your host, D'Angelo.
Yo, what is up, y'all?
Ooh, the celebrity hub is next. Shh, be quiet. It might be juicy.
The Kickin' Spot Celebrity Hub is brought to you by EOTMBlogs.com. When you are looking for the latest, the freshest, and the biggest stories in Hollywood, EOTMBlogs, yes, I said it, EOTMBlogs.com is the site to visit.
I said be quiet, it's coming on, and get off my foot.
Alrighty, you guys, we are now in the Celebrity Hub to discuss what's going on in the world of Hollywood. And just this week, they announced the 2013 Grammy nominees. And Frank Ocean swept. We have Coldplay, Rihanna, Nicki Minaj, and Justin Bieber, who were kind of snubbed this year. Lionel Richie and Scotty McCreery were passed over. But were they really snubbed? You know, I mean, I'm a Lionel Richie fan myself, too. And let's look at the just announced Grammy nominations and sort out what our things are, okay? We probably want to have to put our bets in later on and see, you know, who's going to win which award. You know what I'm saying? So let's look at some of these categories. One of the biggest categories, of course, and, like, the number one category is going to be Album of the Year. And we have Black Eyed Peas, you have Fun, We have Mumford and Sons, Frank Ocean, and Jack White. Huh. I'm a major fan. Frank Ocean's Channel Orange, I heard great things about. Great, great, great things. And I'm a fan. And then Black Eyed Peas, though. The Black Eyed Peas. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not Black Eyed Peas. Oh, dope. Sorry, you guys. That's the Black Keys. I was thinking I don't have the album out this year. The Black Keys. The Black Keys have a new album out. El Camino. Yes. Okay. So with that being said, album of the year, this is, oh, wow. I would have thought there was a few others in there. And this is, okay. Well, let's see. We have Fun with Some Nights, Mumford and Sons, Frank Ocean, and Jack White. Frank Ocean is new to the game. Will he win album of the year? I don't think he will, but I did enjoy Channel Orange. I don't have all the other albums. I know songs off of them. But we'll have to wait a few more, you know, weeks to see, you know, exactly who takes away album of the year. I'm excited to see. Record of the year. We have the Black Keys once again. You got Kelly Clarkson. I'm sorry, Black Keys has Lonely Boy. Kelly Clarkson has Stronger. Fun featuring Janelle Monáe. We Are Young. We are young. Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. That song irritated the hell out of me. I'm going to keep it real. I knew it was catchy and it was classic and people really loved it, but We Are Young. I don't know. Something was just missing a little bit for me. I don't know. Anyhow, Goldie featuring Kimbra with Somebody That I Used to Know, Frank Ocean, Thinking About You, and Taylor Swift, We Are Never, Ever Getting Back Together. I could totally see Taylor Swift taking this one. A lot of people love that song, We Are Never, Ever Getting Back Together, so I'm going to say good luck with her on that one. Then we have, what you call it, we have Best New Artist. And as you can see, you have Hunter Haynes, you have Frank Ocean, you have Fun, you have Alejandro Shakes. It's going to be out there, you guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of different performances. I'm really excited to see who's going to be performing this year. I haven't gotten a lineup yet. They may have announced it, but I just didn't check it out just yet. But R&B album, who's on there? You got R. Kelly, Tamia, Tyrese, Anthony Hamilton, Robert Experiment. You have Best Rap Album with Drake, Lupe Fiasco, Nas, The Roots, Rick Ross, 2 Chainz. And then Best Country Album, you have Zach Brown Band, Hunter Hayes, Jamie Johnson, and a few others. So some great names on here, and I'm interested to see who takes away which award. The Grammys is always one of those award shows you're not quite sure who's going to walk away with what because it's so much great music. So you're just like, ooh, I don't even know. It could be anybody. It could truly be anybody. So we are definitely interested to see who's going to walk away with with the awards. And then I'm mainly about the performances, should be told. I love live performances. I end up downloading the live performances over the CD album. Once the live performance is done, I'll just download the live performance and put it on my phone or on my iPod, because I prefer the live performances over the CD album. So anyhow, you guys definitely check out the Grammy Awards, as it will be a lot of fun to see. When is it coming on? I think it's on January 10th. I'm trying to get the exact date as it left my computer because I changed screens already. But that's okay, you guys. We'll get there. We'll be talking more about the Grammy Awards. We have to call them and figure out how come I'm not getting nominated for it. Oh, I didn't put my album out yet? Okay, that's a good reason why. Okay. So anyhow, really quick for you guys, I mentioned earlier that Kate Middleton and Prince William were being offered parenting advice. You will never guess who it was. It was he's a homegirl from Jersey Shore, Snooki. Yeah, I thought this was quite random, but Snooki thought that she would go ahead and give him some good old parenting advice. The reality star sees herself to be royalty and dedicated to Kate Middleton and Prince William some parenting advice. Did you guys see this one coming? I know I didn't see it coming. let's see, what did she say? The new mom who gave birth to her little meatball, Lorenzo, back in August, couldn't be happier for the Duke and the Duchess of Cambridge and offered a word of wisdom in the New York Daily News. Let's see, this was one day after Taylor Swift was spotted, reported with her new beau. But let's see, what did she have to say? Yeah, she was trying to actually get them on some products, the better products to get for the child. So it's funny, people have, you know, their recommendations about what products you should get for babies, and I know it's kind of one of those things where each person likes their own thing. I don't know, and it's a crazy market that you have in baby stuff. There's a lot of stuff out there. It's pretty funny to me. But anyhow, Snooki giving the prince and the duchess parenting advice. I love it. So also I thought it was kind of funny because we saw a video online. I'm not sure if you guys seen it yet, but check out Jay-Z on the subway. Jay-Z was actually on the subway this past week, I think on Wednesday or Tuesday. And not Wednesday, but like Monday or Tuesday. And he ended up talking with a lady by the name of Ellen, who didn't quite know who he was at first. And they had a really funny conversation, and he eventually says his name is Jay-Z. And she's like, oh, I know you. And it was just really funny. It was a great little moment. You guys should check it out, okay? Anyhow, this is all these stories and more can be found on eltmblog.com. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick musical break because we'll be talking to Eric LaSalle here in just a moment. Eric LaSalle is the author of the book Laws of Depravity, and we're going to be talking to him just in a moment. Okay, so stick around. Be right back.
T'Angelo Live, Point Book.
And I'm your host, T'Angelo.
The next best thing to reading is talking about it. T'AngeloLive.com. Celebrity book authors. Self-help. Celebrity tell-all. Memoir. Celebrity biography. Sports figure. T'Angelo Live, one book.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? We are now in our premiere segment, T'Angelo Live One Books. And tonight's guest is going to be someone that you all probably recognize, I'm sure. Eric LaSalle is an actor, director, producer, and now book author. He is most known for his portrayal of Daryl in the American classic, Coming to America. And then also as playing Dr. Peter Benton in the NBC drama series ER. He has recently released his first novel entitled Laws of Depravity, which is a thriller filled with suspense and beautiful descriptive scenes. There's murder, there's betrayal, there's detective, you got car chases, you have just a book full of entertainment and just a good read, page turning. I actually ended up having the book with me everywhere I went. I just kept carrying it with me, and people were asking, "Steve, why do you have this book with you?" I couldn't put it down. I just couldn't. I had to continue to read it because it was so juicy. So I had to just keep it with me. I really enjoyed it. I want you guys to as well. So definitely go over to TAngeloLive.com and order your copy today. And just get into it, and be sure to post comments so we can, you know, have a dialogue about it, because we want to definitely keep this going. It was a good read. Also, you guys, to make you aware that T'Angelo Live on Books will be having celebrity guests on here on the show all month. This week, today, we do have Eric LaSalle, and next week we will be talking with Marla Martinson, a Beverly Hills matchmaker. So we'll be discussing a more in-depth look on relationships and getting together to think, how is it to be a Beverly Hills matchmaker with all the random things she has to go through, especially in a city where looks are everything, and when you have the dollars, you kind of make the, what they say, the man with the gold make the rules. That could be it here in Los Angeles. And then also, on December 20th, we're going to have a guest, Claudia Christian from Babylon 5. She's going to be in, excuse me, she's going to be on the show, T'Angelo Live on Books, and she has a recent title release, Babylon Confidential, a memoir of love, sex, and addiction. And this is also another great read. I'm just starting it, but it's already going very well to get an in-depth look on her life and some of the things she had to overcome. So, excuse me. So we are gearing up. We are gearing up to speak with Eric LaSalle, but we are going to go ahead and take a. Let me see here. Do I have a musical break coming up? I think I do now. Okay. Excuse me. I need a glass of water. Veronica, can you give me a glass of water, doll? Yes, that'd be great. We're going to go ahead and take a quick musical break, you guys, and we will be right back to chat it up with Eric LaSalle, the book author of Laws of Depravity. We'll be right back.
you came for? Don't you wish you came more? Girl, what you playing for? Come on, let me kiss that. Ooh, I know you miss that. What's wrong? Let me fix that. Twist that. Baby, tonight, tonight, I let you know. Baby, tonight, tonight, we lose control.
Nobody come close to me and you together. Step under my umbrella, we'll make it through any weather. Except when I make it storm, sex in the greatest form. Then hibernate under my body, and yep, I keep you warm. But in a chinchilla, you know I beat it up like the Thriller in Manila. Flying my private jet to villas in Anguilla. Then throw you on the grill, that's 'cause 7 days a week you're my five-course meal for real.
Alrighty, you guys, we are here with T'Angelo Live, and we are currently T'Angelo Live on books, and we are now going to go ahead and bring to the show the gentleman of the hour. I want to go ahead and welcome Eric LaSalle to T'Angelo Live on books. Well, good evening. Sorry, you guys. Actually, excuse me, technical difficulties. Can you give me 1 second? Eric, are you there? Okay, technical difficulties, I guess, here. Oh, my goodness. Are we frozen? Okay, you guys, as I mentioned, I'm Eric LaSalle, is a book author of Laws of Depravity, and it's a great thriller that I definitely want you guys to check out, so you're more than welcome to go over to tangolive.com.
Hello?
Yes, we have Eric.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, my apologies. I'm like, whoa, on the biggest night. Here I have Eric LaSalle, book author of Laws of Depravity. Welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot. How you doing?
Better now that you've made it.
little technical problems, but we got it.
Right. Welcome to the digital era.
Yes, so, exactly.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How's it going?
It's great. I have to let you know that I have truly enjoyed the ride that I got to take with this book.
Ah, well, good, good. Yeah, it's,
it was.
You know, people are really enjoying it. They, you know, say it takes them on a ride, so that was the whole point, you know.
It definitely did. And so how does it feel releasing your first novel?
I mean, you know, look, it's a major accomplishment.
Right.
It's one of those bucket list kind of things that you kind of sit back and you go, wow, I actually, you know, published a novel. And then, you know, the second part of it is, you know, when people start responding favorably to it, then you're like, oh, well, I've not only did I publish a novel, but I actually published a novel that people like.
Right. It worked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, you know, so that was a bit of a surprise at first, but, you know, I mean, that was always the goal, of course, but, you know, you just never know if
right.
it's going to work out that way. So, yeah, so, when people just tell me how much they are moved by it and how they can't put it down and, you know, they get addicted to it, that's like music to your ears, you know.
And that, honestly, I have to agree that this book has been in my hands, and I felt bad. I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm going to get damaged. But it just kept going with me everywhere. I had to keep it with me. I could steal a moment to at least get, like, one more chapter in, you know. But it was great. So now, to my understanding, you recently had a book signing here. I think, what, was it yesterday, correct?
I've done I'm in the middle of doing, you know, a little mini tour. I've been in San Francisco. I've got a bunch of events out here in L.A., and I haven't made it east yet. I was supposed to be going to Atlanta this past weekend, but I had to cancel because of a conflict. But you know, we're planning a spring trip to the East Coast to do some, you know, some signings as well.
Oh, okay, that's going to be awesome. And I know doing the book signings and the discussions really must be the best because you get to be right there with the reader and get that raw feedback.
Well, you know, it's the best is actually when you're doing it with like a book club because a lot of times, you know, people show up at signings, they haven't read the book yet. So you know, they don't really know. They're just there out of interest and, you know, maybe they've heard something about it. And due to the nature of the book, you don't want to give away too much. So you have to watch what you say and how you discuss it because it's a thriller and, you know, a major part of the book is, you know, are the twists and the turns and surprises and, you know, but, you know, when you do it with a book club, then it's, they've already read it and everyone is there and they can just, you know, participate and have some, you know, really, really deep questions about it. And so those have been, for me, the most, the most enjoyable, ultimately. I mean, I love the book signings, but really being able to talk about the book in depth with someone that's, you know, with people that have read it, it just gives it, you know, just another added level.
I completely understand that. You guys, listen, we are currently here on Tianzo Live on Books, talking with Eric LaSalle, his recent title, Laws of Depravity. Definitely go to tianzolive.com to order your copy. So, Eric, we do have a couple of callers on who want to speak with you. But before I take the call, I do want to just get into the first question, which is, where did the concept for this plot in this book come from? It's so original. Like, where'd you get this up?
Well, actually, I was reading an article that talked about how all of Jesus' disciples, except for one, how they were all brutally murdered. And it is, you know, that's historical. It's ironically, it's not discussed in the Bible, but it is something that historians have, you know, have listed. And they basically just, you know, went through and listed how, you know, each individual apostle was killed. And they were, you know, they were hanged, they were flayed, they were speared, they were dragged through the streets, torn limb from limb, they were crucified upside down. So there were all these brutal ways that they were killed, and I just came up with the concept of creating a modern-day serial killer who was killing clergy in the same fashion as the apostles. And so it took me, after I read the article, I just thought, you know what, there's a story here, there's something here, and you know, being an actor and director, the first thought was, you know, is this something that you want to do as a screenplay?
Okay.
I think it would make a much better novel, and you know, at that time I was really interested and intrigued by the whole concept of writing a novel. And I just thought that this gave me a lot of information and a lot of interesting ways. And so, you know, so I just set out to do it. But, you know, the story was so fascinating, and it's, you know, right. and it's true. So, you know, it comes from such a great source. So I just had to figure out how to get into that world. And so, like I said, when I came up with the modern-day serial killer, I was like, okay, now we're good to go.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Oh, that is awesome. Yeah, that is definitely awesome. We're going to go ahead and take our first caller, Eric. I'm going to go ahead, and we have Courtney. Courtney, welcome to Tangible Live on Books. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Denver, Colorado.
Oh, all right. Well, we got Eric on the line. Eric LaSalle, say hello.
Hey, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm George on ER.
What's that?
I'm Georgie on ER.
Oh, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was really good. I haven't watched ER since you've been off of it.
Well, the show's gone now, but thanks.
So, Corey, so in regards to the title, what's the question that you have for Eric?
Well, I know you spent some time on CSI, and I was wondering, did you get the crime scene ideas and background from your time on CSI?
Well, you know, I mean, it's, you know, everything that you do influences, you know, the next thing. And, you know, being an actor and a director and just being exposed to certain things, you know, I directed CSI, and it just helps you with your storytelling. It helps you with the technical aspects. There wasn't anything directly that I, you know, got from CSI, but I got the respect to, you know, you really want to do things technically correct. You really want to keep things credible. You want to make a crime scene feel very real. And so when you work on those shows, you see how they go about doing it, and you emulate that. So that's how I approach my crime scenes. I wanted them to all be to feel real and to basically withstand scrutiny, which I think, you know, places like CSI, you know, they do a good job of that.
Well, thank you, Corey, for calling in. I will have to say that, Eric, you did a great job with that. That was actually, it was a note I put down, was my favorite part of the book, is how well you did describe the scenes, from the crime scenes to just wherever they were. I mean, you just felt like you were there. And there's one scene where I think they had like a little kind of running and car chase scene
right.
off of 117th Street. And I've only been in New York once in my life, but I felt like I was on 117th Street in the dark. And so I would say your storytelling abilities were just awesome. With that, how did you approach this, you know, building these scenes? What was your motivation, or what were you trying to get the reader to feel?
Well, I mean, I just think, you know, regardless, whatever the scene is, whether it is a crime scene, whether it is a love scene, whether it is, you know, just a basic scene, you want there to, you know, you want there to be a high level of credibility. You want people to believe the characters. You want them to believe the environment. I lived in New York for 14 years, and I wanted the feel of New York to be another character. I wanted it to feel like a character, and so I was very specific in detailing what part of the city we were in and what were the flavors of that part of the city, because, you know, New York is so versatile.
Right.
So you just wanted to, you know, leap off the page. So for people that lived in New York, again, you have to, you know, be able to survive their scrutiny, because New Yorkers will tell you right away, no, that doesn't feel right, you know. And, you know, I wanted to respect the fact that I lived there for, you know, 14 years, and I wanted people that have never been to New York or have only been there once to still get a strong sense of what the city feels like, because it's very vibrant and it's very colorful. And so, like I said, that became a character unto itself.
I definitely have to agree. That was one of the parts I would just really feel like I could taste and feel the elements that you presented. Now, to go a little bit deeper with the antagonist, Degler, I have to question, was he designed in a way where some readers might like him and agree with his viewpoint?
Well, I think that, you know, you approach it from the point of view that no one is all bad and evil and no one is all good. And so if you look at Silence of the Lambs, we were rooting for a cannibal. You know what
right.
I mean? You were. So I love that. I love the fact because that, you know, people sometimes, you know, communicate with me and they're like, you know, that really messed me up because I was sometimes rooting for that. So twisted.
Right.
But so I was like, okay, well, A, what does that say about you? But but more importantly, it's when you have a multidimensional character that people can, you want to find things that people can relate to no matter what they do, whether you agree with it personally or not. And so I think on some level, Degler became very relatable and sympathetic because you understand the most important thing is you understand why he's doing what he's doing. You might not agree with it.
Right,
but
right.
You understand, and that's what gives him a level of empathy, and I think that that complicates the story much more, but it elevates it at the same time, and that's exactly what I was going for.
That's huge. There were times where I was like, wait, I think I agree with the wrong person. Wait,
right.
Wait.
And that's good. Yeah, that's,
let me
that's
read
what
this
I
again.
Want.
Like, let me read this again. Let me go back.
Yeah.
But, okay, we have another caller here. I'm going to go take another caller. We have Constance on the line. Constance, welcome to T'Angelo Live One Books. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. We were sitting here with Eric LaSalle discussing the book.
Yes, yes. Hi, Eric. How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
Great. Congratulations on the book.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yes,
and
yes.
Constance, can I ask really quickly, where are you calling from?
I am calling from Marietta, California.
Oh, Marietta, okay. Awesome.
How
yes.
far is Marietta from? Is that up north?
No,
no.
No.
Where's Marietta?
It's about 45 minutes north of San Diego.
Okay, okay, all right.
Kind of
yeah.
in Riverside County.
Okay.
Yep.
You're deep
yeah,
out there.
You said what now?
I said you're deep out there.
It's not that bad. Everyone thinks
no.
it is. It's really not that bad.
Okay, what's your question, Constance?
Yes, well, the women in the book were really strong-minded and determined. I mean, did you get the inspiration from those characters, you know, from someone in your life or in your past, or did you just totally make, you know, make that up? Where did you draw that inspiration from?
You're saying about the women?
Yes, the women in the book. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I was raised by a single parent, and, you know, my mother, and that's one of the things that I'm really, really proud of, because everything that I've ever written, whether it was a screenplay or, you know, whatever, it people have always said that I write women strong, and, you know, and so obviously having a major influence, you know, being this, you know, strong, independent woman, that is something that I definitely and I, you know, put in, because I ultimately think they make interesting characters. You know what I mean? I think it's something that I don't want women to be in my stories. I don't want them to just be secondary characters. I don't want them to just be arm pieces or dressing. Even though this is a, you know, very violent world that this story takes place in. Ironically, 60 to 70% of my following are women with this book. Which is really interesting, because, you know, women love
right.
thrillers, and a lot of times people don't know that, but women love thrillers, mm-hmm. and here, mm-hmm. Because I think they can relate to the women, and because of the great love story that's also in there, women are very, very passionate about it, and the reviews, like if you go on Amazon, and I encourage you guys that have read it to go on Amazon and leave your own reviews, because those things are very, very helpful. But if you go on and if you read all the 5-star reviews there, you'll see that 70% of them are women. And they love the book and they love these characters. And I think it's because women, you know, they're tired of seeing themselves sort of second-class, you know, characters in these type books. And they want to feel like, hey, if I'm a fan of this genre,
mm-hmm.
I want to be well represented. And so, fortunately, like I said, I love writing strong women. It comes very natural to me, you know. And so I, you know,
I come up and I just have a lot of fun with them, you know, a lot of it. So that's how I got that.
Well, thank you, Constance. Thank you for calling. It was a great question, great question. That was another thing. When you develop the storyline, do you start with the storyline, or how do the characters and the storyline really pull together in the writing, the creative process?
Well, this one, I don't consider myself an experienced enough writer to say what, you know, that I have a specific style. I write what I feel. I write what I think is going to make a good story. I sometimes write out of order. I haven't developed. I think it sometimes might drive certain people crazy because they're like, you know, don't you do an outline? No, I don't. And I start writing what I feel, you know, and I may be inspired from just a visual scene or from, you know, an emotional scene and go from there. And then, you know, keep going and then get to the back end of it and then, you know, come back and add some more stuff to it. So it's, you know, I get there different ways. I can't tell you that I have a set way with this. I started with the story that I read, like I told you, and then I started with the antagonist. I knew who my bad guy was before I knew who my good guys were. So that was interesting because normally when I've written screenplays, it's always, of course, from the protagonist's point of view.
Right.
And here I started, so I would say the first, you know, few pages, I knew the killer more than I knew the cops. And then I started coming up with these cool cops, and I was like, who do I want to, you know, and started, you know, making up names, and I wanted, like, an interesting name. That's why, you know, I wanted a name that you had never heard before. That's why I came up with Fee. And how he got his name, and you know, and so then it just starts evolving from there.
Okay.
And you start really having fun with it because then they start, it's like literally watching them, you know, be born, you know, and you just see them growing more and more and more. And now you're like, oh, wow, now they're walking, now they're running, now they're jumping, now they're flying, you know. And before you know it, that character is fully breathing, fully living, and just, you know, it's just completely come to life in front of your eyes.
Wow! If I hadn't read it, I'd go read it again.
Well, hey, you know, you can do that.
That
as
was
a matter
great.
Of fact, a lot of people, you know, if people now, you know, as they're talking about reading it again, what the interesting thing about reading it again is, what you have to understand is the book is ultimately a modern day parable, and so it works on two levels. It works as a straightforward thriller that has all of the suspense and, you know, great kills, great characters. But if you look at the book, there's another way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, there are a lot of metaphors. There are a lot of religious metaphors where what you think we're talking about or who someone is goes a little deeper. Like, for instance, perfect example is Elena's father.
Right.
That relationship is not so much about the physical daughter-father relationship as it is a metaphor for her relationship with God.
Mm.
So her relationship with her biological father really represents her relationship with God, and that's why she has the issues that she has with her father. You know what I mean? So when people go back and they start picking out these little things and go, oh, that's what that meant. And you know what I mean? And so so it's actually kind of cool.
That's awesome. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and take another caller. They're telling me people are calling in. They want to talk about it.
Okay.
Let's actually go ahead and you guys, the 951, we're going to go ahead and take, I think her name is Jasmine Nay. I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good evening, Jasmine Nay.
Hi.
Good evening. This is T'Angelo with T'Angelo Live on Books. How are you doing?
I am doing fabulous. How are you?
I'm great. We're here with Eric. Say hello.
Hi, Eric. How are you doing this evening?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How old are you?
Excuse me?
I'm
How
sorry?
How old are you?
How
That's
old
a
are
random...
these are questions about the book.
That was a random question.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
I got a little wrapped up in the...
Okay, well, yeah, we're talking about Laws of Depravity right now, the book. Have you read it?
I did, actually, and I think Eric, he kind of touched on my question a little bit. I was just wondering, like, you know, the characters Quincy and Fee and McClain, they all have, like, such complex backgrounds, and so I was just wondering, like, did you start developing with your story, like, the plot, or did you start with the characters? And I know you were just saying, like, you knew your antagonist before. So did you start, like, with your storyline? How did your storyline start, basically?
Like I said earlier, once I wanted to explore the concept of someone, a modern-day serial killer, killing, you know, duplicating the murders that were committed, you know, thousands of years ago, that's where I started there, and then each individual character just started evolving. Like, I knew I wanted to do two partners. I wanted to do that old school Miami Vice, you know, African American and Caucasian partner. Like, I wanted that dynamic because so often, particularly in, you know, television and stuff, you know, some place as diverse as New York, you don't get that representation. And it's so weird to sometimes see a show or to read a book that represents New York, but they leave all the color out, and they leave all of the diversity out, and they leave all of the cross cultures out, you know. So I knew I wanted that team. Macklin then evolved because I thought, well, let me get another element here because she is tied into his past. She's tied into the fact that the serial killer has been killing for 30 years, and so to our heroes, it's a new crime, but I wanted to have a character that was connected to him for much longer, so that's how she came about. And then it's just a matter of let's give them all some complications. They all, you know, these guys aren't perfect, and they're chasing this evil person, but they have to deal with their own demons, so now let's give them